You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Back with you here on ESPN 850 WKNR on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs here with you today, this Thursday. And we're going to go right to the phones. We've got Nick in Canton talking about his top three. Oh, Nick dropped. Let's go to Krabby in Port Clinton.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, I love the show, but I got to disagree with you on the Joe Thomas thing. I still think he's one of our top guys because you never know what you have until it's gone.
True.
You know. And I also think Joe Hayden's there. But the last guy I have, and I haven't heard you guys talk about him, but who else can you count on at the beginning of the season if you play 16 games to get more than 5 sacks? And that's Paul Kruger. I mean, I think he's pretty valuable to our defense. He's going to put the pressure on the quarterback that we need.
You're right, Krabby. Thank you very much for the call. And Paul Kruger, I'll be very honest, is a guy that crossed my mind. But he's not a guy that I thought we couldn't play defense without, if that makes sense.
I would agree with that.
I thought between Orchard, Solomon, and Mingo, you would, of course, sign another body, adequate body that deserves to be on an active 53-man roster in the National Football League. And I keep saying it over and over again, but at this point right now, the type of football that we're going to play is going to be by committee in certain position groups. It's going to be by committee at running back. It's going to be by committee at tight end. I think at outside linebacker, it's going to be by committee. You look at the inside linebackers. You've got Dansby and the other two guys, you know, sharing packages or splitting, you know, reps that way. Where else? Wide receiver is going to be by committee. Because I don't think if you had to put a gun to my head and say who's going to lead the Cleveland Browns in receiving this year, I'd pick a name, but I couldn't say that I'm not going to die because he was going to be the guy. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, and I'll ask you that question. Who do you think is going to lead the Cleveland Browns in receiving this year?
I think you throw all the receivers up on a dartboard and throw a dart.
That's my exact
point. That's how I would pick.
Right. Because and that's a good thing. It's not a great thing because as we've gotten into, you know, top tens, top threes, and we've gone into other teams, you'd like to have that guy, that Dez Bryant, that Megatron, that Larry Fitzgerald, that Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb guy that's like, he's going to be our 80-plus catch guy and go for 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns. Boom. Okay. Where's everybody else at? That's not the case. And I just think that it's going to be a close battle. My hopes are is that, you know, Dwayne Bowe and Brian Hartline don't disappoint, because I think if they play well, that only makes it makes Andrew Hawkins much more of a weapon used properly, and Taylor Gabriel as well used properly as the weapon that he is, to not have to run all the routes but run the routes that he runs best within this offense to get those chunk catches. So very, very interesting to see that.
Indeed. And we actually had a tweet. By the way, you're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR Cleveland. KJ tweets at the show at Browns_daily. While most teams don't have a quarterback as their top or top three player, the ones which do are clearly more successful. I can't argue that.
No, you can't.
You know, I know we just broke it all down. We have like 11 or 12 total. But the 11 or 12 we mentioned are the ones that are in the playoffs every year.
So
he does shoot a little hole in our argument.
He does, which is totally fine. But to bring up a discussion piece as you look at those, because the one thing that I know Teddy Bridgewater looks as if he's going to develop into a great quarterback in the National Football League. Blake Bortles doesn't overwhelm me with his ability to be a great quarterback. I think Derek Carr may, but being out there in Oakland, based on their history, doesn't really prove a lot to me. Johnny Manziel here in Cleveland still has question marks surrounding me. But if you look at the quarterbacks, to me, in the last 3-4 years, Andrew Luck is by far and away the runaway as a franchise quarterback. Cam Newton, for the longest time, you know, didn't really look like one. He's going to get paid. Or did he get paid this offseason? Cam Newton.
Yes, he did.
Okay, he did.
Yeah, he got a big contract.
Yeah, he did. But even still, I don't look at Cam Newton. You look at him and you say, I got my guy. But in that division and in that conference, I don't think I've got a guy that's going to lead me to multiple Super Bowls. You look at a guy like Andrew Luck and say, we're going to go to the playoffs every year with a guy like Andrew Luck.
But why can't Cam Newton be that guy?
It's tough. I think based on what I've seen out of him, he's a good player. He's becoming a great player. But he right now, for whatever reason, whether it's the defense or the weapons around him.
See, and that's where I come in and I go, I think Cam Newton's a heck of a football player. I think Cam Newton doesn't have any tools being given to him to be successful.
Right.
That's the problem there with Cam Newton. I don't think it's him. I think it's the lack of weapons.
I agree with that. I think the inconsistency between Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams, you know, being injured most of the career, didn't have a steady run game. And so, you know, he put pressure on Cam Newton in certain situations. Then he didn't have the playmakers. He had Steve Smith early in his career. He's now got Kelvin Benjamin and another guy as a wide receiver slash tight end that I think could be the at least the AFC offensive, you know, rookie of the year is Devin Funchess out of University of Michigan.
I have disagreed with you and Nathan from day one on Devin Funchess. I don't think he's going to amount to anything.
Really?
I don't.
He was what, an early second round pick?
Oh yeah. Okay. Everybody was all in love with him, and I don't see it.
I just see him as a matchup problem. I really do. But it's going to give Cam Newton another weapon, and I don't think Devin, you know, with Olsen there, Devin Funchess doesn't have to play tight end. He can be that hybrid wide receiver slash tight end and line up all over the place to cause mismatches. And I like him versus when I saw him dunk a basketball, I knew he could go up and get the football. So, but I just meant my whole point is to bring this full circle, going back to our, you know, our sales kind of being brought down a bit by that tweet. They don't grow on trees. And they haven't in years past.
And people don't let them go once they have them.
Exactly. And you're exactly right. And people don't let them go unless there's some blockbuster deal, as if, you know, Jay Cutler would have, you know, been traded to us. We eat that big contract and, you know, by change of scenery, you know, he gets his head together and plays like the Cutler that we thought he could be. So very, very interesting points. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to air that Mike Pettine NFL Network interview that we talked about. Brian Baldinger, Michael Robinson weighing in on advice for Mike Pettine for the upcoming season. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.